Hello and welcome to Danny Golden's podcast. Today I'm very excited because we have an introduction to numerology podcast that we're going to be talking about all these wonderful things. We are kicking off a three-part series all about numerology, what it is, how it works, and how it can empower you with a deeper self-understanding. I have the lovely numerologist Sue Coffin on, Healing Numbers 22, and she is going to be our guide as part of this three-part series. So here's what you're going to expect. Part one in this episode, we're going to go over what is numerology, where it comes from, how it works, and how it found its way into our lives. And then in part two, we're going to talk about how the numbers in your personal chart reveal insights about your personality, your life path, and soul purpose, and how to use that knowledge to your advantage. And then in part three, Sue is going to do a real live numerology reading. Well, it won't be live, but you will.
It'll be recorded live.
It'll be recorded, but you will get the opportunity to see how it's done. So if you've ever been curious, you'll get to see her doing her best work. And I've had a reading from her and she's phenomenal. So highly recommend.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I keep looking to my right. If you're watching this, it's because I have my notes and I don't want to miss anything. Whether you're brand new to numerology or just curious, this series will help give you a grounded, insightful introduction into how numbers can become a tool for a deeper self-discovery and alignment. And really, I love numbers, and we'll talk about more of that later. But let's get to today's episode. In part one, we're going to cover what exactly is numerology, my personal journey into discovering numerology, and how numerology can help you understand your path and your purpose, which aren't we all looking for a little blueprint and to help us live this life?
Yeah, most definitely, right now, especially.
I couldn't agree with you more. Okay, Sue, what is numerology?
Numerology is the study of numbers, right? And I study Pythagoras numerology. So that means that I study the numbers 1 through 9.
Okay.
And every number has a vibration, a frequency. It has its own personality. So through your name given at birth, which is very important, and your date of birth, I can help you to understand the energy that makes you who you are, and energy that comes in past, present, and future.
I love that. Want to dive into any more of the roots, like you said, like how you started studying it and its evolution into today, like from your understanding? How do you want to begin?
Let's talk about the different ways people do numerology, because it's all over the world.
Okay.
It's just not real prominent in America. But anyway, so we have Chaldean numerology, and the number 9 is sacred. So they don't use that in any calculations, which is interesting.
We have Kabbalah,
and that's the Hebrew letters, and they use the Hebrew letters in the Tree of Life. So that's an interesting concept. I've done a little bit of play with that, but not a lot. We have Vedic and Indian. Vedic numerology, they use planets. So a lot of times you'll hear people say they're astronumerologists. That's usually a Vedic.
Interesting. So they're studying numbers and then where the planets are.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And they work with the degrees more than anything and how it's matching up with the charts. And then we have Chinese, and that's mostly cultural.
Okay.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Yeah. So there's a little taste of everything all over, but I study Pythagoras, so.
Love it. And what's interesting is what we've, you know, talked about briefly, but we haven't for the audience explained it if they're new to this, is how numbers from your birth date and full name create your personal chart. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, like I said, all numbers have a vibration, mm-hmm. right? I have, like, for instance, I have your chart in front of me.
Okay.
You okay with me?
I'm totally. Let's do it. This is probably very helpful for the audience to give context.
Yes. All right. So when I look at your chart, I have to mull all these numbers together. And maybe I'll send you some of my charts so that you can share those with people so that
okay.
they can see this is a little bit of work behind it. The life path, I don't know, we're going to explain all that or is that episode two?
No, we're going to go into that actually. Let's just jump to the core concepts in numerology and we can use my chart as an example. What are the core concepts of numerology? So let's start with the life path, what it is and how it's calculated. It's a great segue. Thank you.
Yes. So the life path, this is the most important number in the chart because it's the month, day, and year of birth. And this can never be changed. This is a solid number, right? We can change our names, but we can't change this. And the life path is the stage that you're performing on. So it's you carry the vibration of this energy and it acts like law of attraction. It's pulling those things towards you and to help you in this lifetime. And your life path is a 17-8. And when I say 17-8, I want everybody to know I have to take every double digit number and I have to add those together to get the single number because 17 works different than what a 26-8.
Okay.
Everything works different. So the 17.
That's great to point out. Yeah.
Yeah. The 17-8. So I go right to the 8 energy. And 8 is all about power, money, and success, climbing the ladder.
Yes.
8 is what goes around comes around, right? Because when we draw the number 8, it's constantly in motion, it's always evaluating. The 17, that adds a layer because 7 is right next to the number 8, right? And the 7 energy is the one who likes to research, who likes to study, who likes to dive deep. You know, you don't want a conversation that's idle chit chat.
Yes.
You want to take it into a different level. So this is why you do so well. Interviewing and talking to people because you have that passion of learning,
yeah.
which is the 7 energy. 8 is a survivor number. It can be knocked down, but it also has the strength to be picked up. It doesn't lay there. Whereas I don't have hardly any 8 in my energy at all, my chart. And I would lay on the ground and go, oh, my gosh, what just happened? And while you're already up and gone and say, that's OK, I'm going to just take that, put it in my pocket and I'm going to go to the next thing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not reluctantly, I get up, but
right.
I get up.
Yes, yeah. Of course you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have that strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being the life path, that means you're pulling this. You love business. You don't want to flip hamburgers. You want to own the franchise.
Yeah.
Right? And this is why you're an entrepreneur. You have other numbers that would suggest entrepreneurship too, but you're not happy underneath somebody else. You got to run the show, girl.
I should have seen you before I went to therapy. It would have saved me a lot of my time and money.
So true.
Told me the exact same thing.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about the number 8 is you have to be careful because sometimes there's a level of aggression because you want to get the work done. People can't always keep up with you because you're go, 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 go.
Right.
You have to always be, it's interesting because the number 8 is come up the ranks, right? From 1 to 7. So it's experienced all those energies. So you have learned that whereas the number 1 is all about self, original, steps outside of the box, never finishes anything, but starts so many things. 8 understands it needs those people behind it. It's not going to succeed
yeah.
unless it has those people. One doesn't have a clue about that.
Oh.
Yeah, because one is all about self.
Right.
So 8 has that advantage of knowing that that those people behind you are very important. And the universe wants you to make sure you're always taking care of them.
Right.
You can't get greedy. You can't be egotistical. You can't do any of that stuff because that's when the universe.
Oh, definitely. You're yeah. Down.
You yeah. got to pick yourself back up. Have some integrity.
Apologize.
Apologize.
Take accountability. Been there.
Humility, a little humility.
Yeah,
all of
definitely.
That.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're a leader. Definitely a leader. And people look up to you for that because of that number eight.
Yeah.
There was a heavy sigh.
Well, you know, there's a lot of responsibility if you're leading by action and you want to make sure that I want to make sure I'm always acting with integrity. And it can be hard mm-hmm. sometimes because life presents us with a lot of challenging situations. People don't always work the same way. Their expectations are different. Communication is key, but as spiritual beings, we're really in this body. I was thinking about this the other night and how difficult it is to actually communicate. Like when I get a spiritual message, it's a vision. It's not, or a feeling. It's not mm-hmm. words. I don't think the spirit world uses words. And so us as humans to try to communicate the complicated feelings that we have arise on the daily is very difficult and it requires practice, much like me training in swimming or surfing and trying to get better at or karate and trying to get better at something. It's this muscle I constantly need to exercise. And in addition to that communication, it's also having that awareness of how might the other person on the side of this, on the other side that I'm speaking with and having this disagreement with or this challenge with, see this? And that requires an extensive amount of getting outside of all my thoughts, all my feelings, and really jumping into their shoes and being like, what could this be like that I'm not seeing? And that's hard. You know, days, you know, we're, like you said, life isn't always the easiest it can be. And so stopping yourself and requiring that is challenging, but I'm very grateful for that. And I think because of my ability to be able to perfect that or not perfect it, but like get better at it, it's enabled me to really enjoy the growth that comes from it and get past the struggle and be like, oh yeah, there's another hurdle or I can't believe I just overcame that or was found a way to make this complicated situation, simplify it in a way that was digestible. And now it's no longer a headache.
Yeah. The other thing too, is the soul doesn't care if it's good or bad. It's here to experience.
Yeah.
So when you're having one of those experiences where you want to just stop, the soul is going, all right, this is cool. I'm seeing another side to something, right? Because there's always the yin and the yang. So if we can,
that's an interesting,
we can yeah. step back out of it and think of our soul and how it's evolving. And that's why we're here. And we're doing it through all these experiences. And numerology just helps you to understand the energy that you have chosen to work with.
This is why I love these conversations. This is why we're having this podcast, is so that everyone can hear how amazing you are and how you simplify things and bring knowledge. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, I can't speak for anyone else. I can only speak for myself. But, you know, sometimes it feels like you're fumbling around and, you know, I'll get to this more later in the podcast, but you know, when I was younger and I would read my astrology reports, I didn't really feel like they identified with me as much. But when I got my numerology reading, I was like, where has this been my whole life? And numbers started presenting themselves to me, but we'll get into that. Okay. Let's get to the destiny. Do you want to say anything more about the life path number before we
nope.
get to destiny?
No. Nope.
Okay. So let's talk about the destiny and expression number.
Okay. So when I work with the letters, because every letter is represented by a number and it goes by the alphabet, right? Mm-hmm. So when I work with the letters, it's talking about what's going on inside of you. It's not okay. energy that's coming towards you. It's what's inside of you. So okay. when I add all your letters together, I get, how do you express yourself on your life path? When I look at the vowels, in the name, the soft sound, this is your heart's desire. This is what keeps you passionate, motivated. And then the personality is the hard sounds in the consonants in the name. And this is, how do you project yourself out to other people before you allow them into your heart? Mm. So your expression number, when we add everything together, is an 11-2. But when I do it, I do it on a deeper chart. And it would be a 38-11-2. So that 3 brings in that creativity. First off, I guess we'll back up.
Okay.
The 11-2 is a master number, right?
Okay.
Everybody says, oh, I hope I have a master number. Okay. It's kind of like I'm going, well, you might really want to think about that, because a master number can be, this is how I was taught okay. about the master numbers. I thought this was really good. Supposedly, and who knows, right? I'm a real right. factual person, so who knows? This is kind of philosophical. Supposedly, you have gone through you've worked everything you wanted to do here on Earth. You've done your job here. You've gone to the heavens, to the realms, and you're working up there, and you're having a wonderful time, and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I got to go back down there. I got things to do. I got people I need to help. So you come down and you hit the ground running. Most people don't understand you. Mm-hmm. They can't, you don't understand them. There's usually, there can be trauma. There can be something that happens in the younger part of your life. And that's just setting you up, because the 11-2 is the master messenger. It wants you to take a message out to other people to inspire them. But it's a high vibration, and you can't always live in that vibration. So what happens is when those two ones are fighting against each other, and you just like, get out of my way, I got things to do, you drop back to that 2. And the 2 is so different than 1, because 2 is all about peace and harmony and is soft, feminine energy. So there's a side to you that can be very strong, and there's a side that very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
2 and 8 get along very well together. 2, 4, and 8 are our business numbers. So 2 loves little details, likes the small things in life.
Yeah.
If I went to your home, I probably might find a lot of little trinkets or little things, and everything carries a memory to you. You can't get rid of it. Sometimes it's just too hard to get rid of things because of that. The
yes.
memory. It's the memory. When you have a life path of an 8, 17, 8, that's 7 is the spiritual, and the 11-2, the master messenger. Hello, Danny. You are doing just exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and it feels comfortable to you.
It does. It really does. I'm having the most fun I've had in my adult life in a very long time. I needed the other experiences, which were also fun, but just, you know, it definitely felt like I was like Sisyphus, like pushing the boulder uphill to only have it roll on top of me. And now I feel like the boulder's no longer there, and things are flowing more easily. And I think that's all like what people talk about, and what you're saying is when you're in alignment and you're on the right path and you're doing what you're meant to be doing.
And that number 8 is constantly reevaluating, checking things out. Now the 11-2 doesn't ground itself very well. A lot of times you find yourself chasing your tail. So you mm-hmm. have to be very careful that when you get into those times that you're in the higher vibration, that you allow yourself to get outside or just meditate. Or meditating is very hard for you because your mind goes constantly. That's the 11-2.
Yeah.
But you know, I think sometimes I think that meditation has just been blown out of proportion. I think if people would just relax and just sit in their chair for 10 or 15 minutes and stare out the window and just not be on their phones or not be in technology, I just think that makes such a big difference. You don't have to sit and for 45 minutes. It just...
I couldn't agree with you more. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. No, I notice when I ocean swim, and when I'm in the water, you know, there's no technology. It's just you and nature, and it's like hiking in the water. And I come back from those ocean swims just feeling reborn, reinvigorated, washed the gunk off the heavy energy of the previous days or day. And it is my meditation. I mean, I do do a meditation where I close my eyes and try to relax my body, but I think what you're saying is so valid. Forcing yourself to meditate how people tell you to meditate isn't always what's going to work for you. You're going to have to find something that works for you where after you do it, it fills your cup, you know, that's healthy for you, obviously.
So true. Very interesting. You swim. Two needs to be around water. Two is emotional. It's the moon. You like the moon cycles. You probably go with the moon cycles a lot because of the two.
I do.
Yeah. That's the two energy. Yeah. Yeah. So then when we get into your heart's desire, what makes you passionate? What keeps you happy? Now, this is a 19-10-1, be a 37-10-1-2. The heart, the 19-10-1 is a lesson that you've come here to work through. And it would suggest that maybe in a past life, you took the power away from somebody. So in this lifetime, you had to feel powerlessness. And this was in your heart. So I don't know if it was in a relationship or it was family or there was something that was that took your heart away. So the power was taken away from you. Doesn't mean your whole life you're going to do this. You had to experience that because the soul said, I don't want to take that back with me. I want to get through this. I want to understand what it felt like. And now I'm going to go stand in my power because when we go 19, that makes a 10, then it makes a 1. So ultimately, the number is the number 1. You just have to go through that experience. It's an interesting number. 1 and 9 together, they're on opposite spectrums, right? 1 is all about self. 9 is the humanitarian, the one who does who's universal love, compassionate. So it has a strong pull to it. How much do I do for myself versus what do I do for everybody else? But ultimately, it's about learning how to stand in your power, lead with integrity. Lead with, because you have strong energy. Your soul was very smart because, you know, I read for the soul. I don't read for the ego. When I look at things, I'm always thinking, well, why did the soul do this? But your soul was very smart. It wanted you to be very strong and it wanted you to learn how to really stand in your power, how to run your own business, how to take care of others in a business way, I would so presume, but it has that level of softness in there because your birth date is also the 2 and the 2 is your natural talents and abilities. So I have a feeling the 2 energy is very observant. It reads energy. It's very intuitive. We've talked about that. Being the intuition, 11-2 is very intuitive. So if you can slow yourself down just enough to be the observer and to listen, I suspect that words are actions. Words are not as important as the actions. And you see that in a different way than maybe other people don't. They miss it. But you don't want to doubt yourself. You don't want to, because that 19-10-1 can, boy, sometimes it can doubt itself and it can. But again, it's always about saying, okay, I'm going to stand in my power.
Yeah. No, this is all very accurate. Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I definitely learned at a very young age, actions speak louder than words. Unfortunately, I think like most people, you have to learn a lesson over the course of years and decades to really get it. Just something as simple as Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe it. Part of that intuitiveness and that that ability to observe people is you can often see the best in everybody, but they're not ready to show you that consistently. So you can make excuses and doubt yourself and things like that. So there's some of that in there. And I think, like you said, it's the energy doesn't carry a good or bad with it. It's just very factual. This person is not at a place where they're ready to have their words match their actions. And my decision then becomes, how do I want to respond and react to that? And that's been the lesson, right? Not
right.
Talking about power, not wanting to control it, not wanting to make that person be at a place where I know they can be or whatnot, but accepting of that. And then accepting of the fact that just because I can see it and feel it doesn't make it tangible in this moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. When you sit and look at somebody's chart, you know, some charts I go, wow, this soul really came to get some work done. And you have, like I said, you have very strong energy. And you're right. You've had to learn how to tame it.
Yes. Very much like a wild animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a killer whale who just wants to flip over every boat. I've had to be like, no, not the best idea. That's not going to work. We tried that. It didn't go as planned.
Yeah. And then your personality, what do you project out to other people? It's the one. And that one. So I, you know, when I, and the interesting thing too, is when I see somebody with a lot of one energy, eight energy in their chart, I never go into it believing that I'm going to convince them of anything. Ever. You're going to take what you need and you're going to leave the rest. That's what a woman will do.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
I have one energy too. So that's why you and I connect. We have
definitely.
I have the 1910 one. That's my expression.
Oh.
Yeah. And my life path is a six. So my powerlessness has definitely come through relationships. Your powerlessness. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. So I don't know how it's worked for you, but was it relationship based?
I mean, I was married to my job in my past life, so there was that relationship. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, I was bullied a lot growing up. I moved around a bit, and I think really. Now that I'm older and I see the pattern and the purpose behind a lot of the things that happen in my life, and view them as cheesy and trite as it might sound, as blessings, I think the powerlessness might just be my inability to, if I volunteered to come here to make people better and deliver this message and feel like I could change the world and make it a better place, like what I'm trying to do with Danny Golden, it's really putting the information out there and letting people come to it on their own. You can't force anything. And I think that's been like a pattern of, you know, in my career, when I was in a toxic work environment, when I worked in entertainment, I loved the work so much. My boss and my boss's boss were not the healthiest individuals. And, you know, I thought that I could make them kind. I thought that I could make them considerate. I thought that I could show them how to view things from my perspective. And that just wasn't going to happen. That's not reasonable thinking. So I think that's powerlessness. Learning that you could love something, but that is not the right environment for you. I mean, I was devastated. It felt like a breakup. It felt like I can't do this thing that I love that I thought was where I was going, and I'm not going there. So there was a feeling of powerlessness there. I think in not romantic relationships, but just honestly interactions with difficult situations, just people where we don't see the situation the same way, recognizing, like you said, you can't come in like, you know, a bowl in a china shop. You know, I can't go flipping over the boat. I have to be patient with myself, calm down, get to a place where I try to find different ways and styles of communicating with that individual to see if there's a way that we can work through it. And what I found is with most, if not all people in situations, there has been whether it's you agree to disagree, you agree not to be friends anymore, you agree not to work together anymore. I don't feel like I walk away from that situation hating anybody. And I would like to think that that's reciprocated.
Yeah. That's interesting because that's the nine. unconditional love, forgiveness,
right, like,
go.
I don't want to hate anybody. Like, that's just a horrible emotion. So I can hate a situation that's happening, but I don't want to hate. I don't want to walk away or carry hatred towards anyone. And I find that if I hate someone or I am very angry about a situation I can't control, it then I'm giving something or someone, they're living rent-free in my mind. And then that's not fair to me. So then I'm powerless over that situation because I'm giving them the power to impact my life when they're really not impacting my life. It's a situation that I'm trying to navigate. So that has been an ongoing theme. And I think I've gotten significantly better and I'm really proud of myself, but it has not been easy.
I think you have too. And I think you're brilliant in saying, explaining that losing your power isn't necessarily from somebody else taking it from you. We take our own power away. We don't need anybody else to do it. You know, and there can be situations certainly that that does happen. But a lot of times I see it's the own person trying to work through self-confidence, self-esteem, all of those issues. And it gets revved up a little bit. And I think it gets revved up for you because of that 8 life path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Wants you to experience, wants you to reevaluate, check things out. And I think in our conversations, the important thing for people to realize is we're not just one number.
Right.
And one number can be, like I said, a 17-8 is different than a 26-8 or a 35-8 or a 44-8. They all have a vibration that's a little bit different. So really important. That's why it's so important to have a reading. So you could really just dig down and find out about it.
Yeah. And I think it adds context. What it's done for me is added context to why similar situations might be reoccurring or I feel a certain way. And there's validation to that. And who doesn't want that or need that? You know, it's helpful information. Like, it's that 7 in me, like you said. Like, I want to do the research and understand, how can I prevent this situation from happening again? Because this is not how I want my life to be.
Yeah. And you're willing to take that deep dive because the energy you carry supported it.
And then I have soul urge and personality.
That's what we just did. Heart's desire.
Oh, that's what we just
did.
That's
what I call the heart's desire.
Well, I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah.
Us layman people who don't know it as well as you do.
Well, we have one more position in the chat.
Yeah.
At a certain age, excuse me, we add the life path and the expression number together to get what we call the maturity number.
Okay.
We're going to do at the end of our life, right?
Oh.
Yeah. And how you get that number is you subtract your life path from 36.
Okay.
Your maturity number is the 1.
Oh.
It's actually 109, 55, 28, 19, 10.
Okay. I had to go a lot of places before I got there.
which says that you are going to stand in your power. You are going to win the fight. You're going to be very proud of yourself, very the entrepreneur that's helping everybody, that's working with everybody. Because that one energy, again, is all about self. And it's interesting because there's a 10 in there. And that 0 just amplifies that 1 10 times stronger. It's like, because it's gone through 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
The new birth. It's a new adventure. It's a new, you know, sometimes we don't even know what it is, what the vision is yet. But
right.
And that comes in around for you. Oh, you're going to be starting some not big changes. But you're going to be starting some changes because and I don't want to jump the gun, but you're also changing a pentacle, some a lot of things. It's all good. You know, what I see is very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Always, always good. We never go to the other side.
I feel like I've been to the other side. I'm ready to be on the good side.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I've spent enough time on that side. Let's be on this side.
You've done the work. Let's put it that way, right?
Well, thank you.
You've done the work. You don't need to. I mean, there's always going to be challenges, you know? People say to me, you know, when does it end? Trust me, it doesn't end. We still have challenges, no matter how old we are. But it's the wisdom that gets greater and greater and greater. And it's the ability to say, that's really not an issue. I don't even need to be there. So,
right.
Life gets better as we get older, I think.
I agree. And the gratitude of the knowledge, the wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like being able to view it from that lens, that's like a whole new level. I was like, nobody told me about this. This is amazing, you know, or they tried to, and I was just too dumb to pick it up. So
no, or just didn't want to hear it at the time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's what you said, that you had a numerology reading when you were in your 20s.
Yes, I did. I had a group of friends that wasn't the healthiest of relationships, where they took me to a numerology reading and I didn't really know what was happening, and they sat in on it, which you're not supposed to do for all the people listening. It's a very private thing. This is because I'm using my numbers to help educate everybody. So yeah. I'm very comfortable with this. Right. But yeah, when you do a numerology reading, it should be your personal reading. It should be private. It should be something that you and your numerologist review and discuss. But yes, I did have this reading. My friends insisted they sat in, and I really didn't retain much of the numbers, but I do remember people being like, whoa, wow, that's super cool. Like, I knew that or whatever. But I was too young. I was in my 20s to really retain the information and have it mean anything. And I think I was just more... I wasn't with the right people in the right situation. And as everybody listening to this podcast can know how much that an impact a life, like it's, you could be thriving because you're simply in the right environment, and you could be drowning because you're simply not in the right environment. Yeah. So
right.
It was a perfect example of that. So yeah, I did. I had a numerology go ahead.
It's funny that was put in your life.
Yeah. It is.
You have to love it.
I do. I'm actually in the process of kind of seeing, like I said earlier, things coming together and being like, oh, that's why that happened, or that was interesting, or that was thrown in there, or how cool is that? And the story and how it's led me to here. And the gratitude I have is just immense, because it's like, who's running the show? Because I don't, it's not me.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. I always say, when I transition, the first place I'm going to the logistics department, because I want to know how they set this up.
Right. Somebody's got to tell me, like, how did you whiteboard this? Like, what did this look like?
Totally amazing.
You've got this person over here connected to this thing, and then you pull this thread. It's like,
and then this person comes in and solves the problem, and he's like, wow, this is
really cool.
So much.
I know. And if I had just sat and relaxed, I would have been fine the whole time. Like, no.
Just let it happen. I think that's a lot what happens as we get older.
Right.
That's why we can manifest a little bit better. And that's why things just seem to fall in place, is because we're not fighting for them. We're not trying so hard to get out there and make it happen. We're like,
right.
Okay. Because I had somebody ask me once, what do you do for marketing? I said, well, I talk to my people and they bring it in for me. When I'm supposed to have people, I get lots of them. When I'm not, then I need a break.
Yeah. No, it's true. That's like that Sisyphus reference. It's really sitting back and letting life run the show. And it's knowing when to put your foot on the pedal, and when work is needed, and then when rest is needed.
And that's where numerology comes in, because mm-hmm. we can look at the cycles
and absolutely. We can
see when to push, when to pull. Sorry about that. My husband just
came. Oh, it's okay.
The lawnmower.
It's okay.
Life goes on.
Life goes on. So let's talk about that. Why do people turn to numerology? Why are more people, you think, why today? Like, it seems like more people are being drawn to numerology.
They're curious. A lot of it's just curious. They don't know. And it's a modality that hasn't been widespread, like I said, in America. Over in the UK, they're brought up with numerology and tarot. Tarot came from numerology. You know, and if you think about it, astrology can't be done without numbers. Nothing can be done without numbers.
No.
Numbers are in everything, and everything can be calculated. So a lot, it's, like I said, the curiosity. Sometimes people just, they're at a crossroad, and they just don't know which way to go. Now, I can't tell people what road to take, but I can tell them what energy is around them. The energy is not going to go away. It's not, if we're having a bad year or a bad month, it would be important to reach out and find out what the energy it wants from you, because then you can lean into it to get the most out of it. Mm-hmm. But when you're feel at your crossroad or your gut's all turning all the time and you got this resistance, that's exactly what it is. You're resisting the energy that is around you.
Play that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's so much fun that when I do readings for people, or because I have my monthly reviews that I do with people, and we get together and to see how it has settled people down just by knowing, well, this month I need to work really hard. This is what the energy, because next month it's going to be about play.
Yeah.
It's going to be about travel, movement, expansion. So it's just little things like that. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Relationships too is a big one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just as long as I have the other person's permission, I mean, if you are in a relationship and the other person doesn't want to come to it, because a lot of times hubby really doesn't care, but the wife is interested. Mm-hmm. As long as I have the permission of him to do it, then I can do compatibility. Why is it stuck right now? What's going on with the two energies that's not moving? What needs to be done? How can we break that up and make it more comfortable for everybody?
I love that. What do you think are some, I have debunking misconceptions, like that numerology is not fortune telling, it's a reflective tool. The differences between numerology and astrology, and how it can complement and not replace other spiritual tools and things that we use for growth.
Not everybody is ready for reading.
Yeah.
Not everybody. And if you're not ready for a reading, then it's not worth your money.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to pick up on what you need to hear. Mm-hmm. I used to do every Saturday morning, the first Saturday of every month, I used to bring in two numerologists, an astronumerologist, a psychic medium, an astrologer, and a tarot card reader. And we would take one chart and we would break it down. All of us would come to the same conclusion. Our interpretations might have been a little bit different, but we were all coming to the same conclusion. Energy is energy. It doesn't matter what modality we're using. We are going to see the energy is the energy.
Wow. That's great.
If you had a reading from me and then went to a tarot card, had a tarot card reading, you're going to get some of the same information. It's just amazing.
That is.
I guess that's what I love about it. It's because, and some people like astrology better than, well, they don't know about numerology, but.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. You need a reading of some sort to get to pull it together to understand the energy around you.
I love that. And then I just have here on my personal journey into numerology, as Sue hinted, and we talked about briefly, where I had a numerology reading. After everything kind of hit the fan for me and my life went down the toilet, I remember building myself and my life back up. And I kept seeing the number 44 everywhere, to the point where it was like annoying. And it got so bad where I literally was asking one of my friends whose boyfriend at the time happened to be into numerology, and he looked it up and everyone said the same thing. It was like the number, you have to figure out what the numbers mean to you. And what you and I laughed about is that 44 is a split eight. So I always kind of saw it. And the message I got was that balance, balance. If you are not balanced, like, and maybe it's like spirit, you know, earth energy or whatever, but there was like one level of balance and another level, like, let's split it in half. Let's make this digestible. And it also, you know, if I was traveling in an unfamiliar area, I usually would see it and it would be like, oh, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. So
that was kind of there. Yeah.
When you see numbers as sequences, it really is important. When you see one, it puts you right in the present.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Slows you right down, puts you right in the present. It's like, whoa.
Well, because you're like,
yeah. So they're tapping you on the shoulder.
Right.
So what are you thinking about? What are you feeling? What are, you know, why do they want you to slow down right then? Important. I see 333 all the time. One night I woke up every hour, 111, 222, 333. 444 to 555. And finally I'm going, I get it. I get it. Okay. I just want to sleep. What are you doing with me? But it was quite an interesting night. And what they were up to that night, I don't know, but
that's
to be aware.
Then I remember when I did my first numerology reading with you in 2023. I remember I was frustrated with feeling more tired and introspective. And you had said, well, this is just a year where you're, you know, feeling more tired. And you were right. And next year I was going to feel more ready. And that was very interesting. We talked about my last name, Golden, and that being joy and creativity. And it's funny because in society, people are like, oh, that's so golden. And it makes people smile. So I thought that was a very interesting thing. So this is just a great, we're going to begin and wrap it up because we're going to get into some more details in episode two. But I just wanted to share with you, the audience, this wonderful resource, Sue, and how numerology can help you understand your strengths, your challenges, your life cycles, and why you feel called in certain directions. So how did you become, let's end this podcast with, how did you become a numerologist?
Well, when I was younger, I was very psychic, and it wasn't accepted, you know, they didn't know how to handle it. So I shut it down probably around 13, 14. And I remember when I was like in my 30s, I kept praying and wanted, show me the modality that I can use to open myself back up. And it wasn't until I was in my early 50s that I was listening to a podcast. It was a numerologist and a psychic medium. And I thought, well, you know, I've heard about that modality, but I've never tried it. So I called her and got a reading. I was blown away because she was out of state. I'm not on social media. There was absolutely no way she could have known what she was telling me. So I started buying books. You know, I have a lot of seven energy. So I started to dive in. I wanted to know it. And I realized I wasn't getting everything I needed in the books. So I called her back and I said, would you mentor me? And she did for a short time. And then she said, you've got to go out and do readings. That's where you're going to learn. Oh my God. I was scared to death.
You're probably terrified.
I was scared to death. So what I did was I took 1 year and I did free readings, 1 year. And by the end of the year, I was booked solid. So that was a good sign.
Yes.
And I learned so much and I appreciated all those people that put up with me because at the beginning was horrifying. Yes. And then, but now I study with the Conniston School of Numerology in the UK, and I will probably study with them for as long as I'm doing this, because this is always evolving as I'm evolving. You know, a one will always be a one no matter what, but it evolves in different ways when I look at it in the charts. So
I love that. Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk offline about your psychic stuff that happened when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in that. Okay, so tell everyone how they can find you to get a reading.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. HealingNumbers22.com. You go right to my website and you can just go in and get into my calendar, sign up. And yeah, I'm there. I can't wait to meet people. I just get so excited because I love meeting people. I love helping people. If I get just a little bit, I've done a good job. But usually it's a big bit. People leave with their eyes glazed over going, wow, how does she know that? But next time, I think it's really important that we talk more about the cycles.
Right? Okay.
The pentacles, the challenges, the transits, the essences. There's still so much more to a chart than just
the main numbers. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to revise the outline so that we can get into that more, because I think that is a great suggestion and I love it. And please contact Sue. She is amazing. Healing Numbers 22. That is a wrap for part one. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe and visit DannyGolden.com so you don't miss the next episode. We'll see you in part two. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.